Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
All of us need to pause long enough in our schedules to thank God for His abundant grace. Grace is His unmerited favor towards us through Christ. And the grace that none of us deserves is our focus on today's broadcast. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Pastor Lutzer is telling us about the characteristics of grace.
Notice number one, it sets aside all human effort. Secondly, it is unaffected by the degree of our sin. Thirdly, it takes us all the way to heaven. Fourthly, it is a gift of God. And finally, it is very difficult to accept. Very difficult to accept. Somebody listening to this says, well, you know what they do there at the Moody Church? They just preach this business of cheap grace. I want you to know today that to accept the grace of God is difficult, though it is a free gift. Let me tell you two categories of people that find it difficult to accept God's grace. Luther said that the natural man is on a pendulum and he swings between pride and despair. So first of all, we're going to talk about those who are in despair. The drug addict, the child molester, the murderer, the practicing homosexual, the adulterer, the alcoholic. All of these people find it difficult to accept God's grace frequently because what they're saying in themselves is, if you only knew, God is so mad at me, there's no way that I'm going to talk to Him about this. He's just waiting in heaven ready to spew me out of His mouth. He's so angry. Oh, what a wretch I am. And so they look at other people and they revise their estimation of themselves downward because they say, I am unworthy. And they find it hard to receive God's grace. Then there's another category, those goody-two-shoes religious types. Somebody was asked one time, what is the greatest sin you've ever committed? He said, I was out on a golf course and I got real mad and hit the ball real far. Oh, how could you do something that terrible? I can't believe it. First of all, let me say that I think he did other things that were far worse than that, if he were honest. The religious types find it very hard to be honest. But number two, those who say, well, you know, as people have told me on the plane, I've heard it so often, they say, well, you know, I think I have just as good a shot at heaven as anybody else. And they look at other people and they revise their estimation of themselves upward because they can tell you 100 people who are worse off than they are. And so they say, I got a good shot. Listen to me very carefully. Those people are farther from the kingdom of heaven than the other category that I have listed. And that is why Jesus said to the religious types of his day, the prostitutes will go into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you folks. Because you still think that somehow works are involved. And as a result of your thinking that works are involved, why you look to yourself and do not understand that you are as wretched before me as all the folks whom you think are so much worse than you are. You see, these folks are insulted when they are told that as far as God is concerned, they are in the same category as all the other sinners. They are insulted when they are told that what they need is not divine help, they need a resurrection. Let me be very clear to you today and say this, that when you come to Christ, it is not to give, it is to receive. You know, the idea of works is so ingrained within us that even in the terminology which many people who should know better use, we find works. For example, I hear people say, now what I'm going to do is to challenge my friends to commit themselves to Christ. Well, I want to think about that a little bit. What do you mean to commit yourself to Christ? It's true that we as Christians commit ourselves to Christ. Paul says, He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But what are you expecting these people exactly to commit? I had a friend who used to witness this way. He says, I challenge people to pledge their allegiance to Jesus Christ. pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. There's a famous evangelist whom I have frequently admired, and some of you might know who he is, but he gave an invitation one time, and he said, I'm going to invite you to come forward, and those of you who are coming forward, he says, you are making a promise to follow Christ. I thought, there's some of us who have lived the Christian life for decades, and we still are struggling to follow Christ. And now you're asking all those people to come and to follow Christ? What if they make their promise to follow Christ and then go home and break it an hour later? Now what? Will you listen to me very carefully? When you come to Christ to be saved, you come to receive. You do not come to give. You do not come to receive help. You come to be rescued. You do not come to be made better, though that happens, thank God, but you come to be resurrected. You come helplessly, but you come to the only God who can speak to a graveyard and can cause a corpse to live. And you can never take care of your problem just by getting real serious about it. Many years ago, and it is many years ago, I was pastor of the Edgewater Baptist Church. I came there with my wife in 1971, was very new in the ministry, still feel new in the ministry, as a matter of fact. But there were some evangelistic services that had already been planned, and we had them, and there was this couple that came, and I didn't know who they were. I had never seen them before, but they came to this meeting, and afterwards they came to talk to me. Here was their story. They belonged to a wife-swapping club, and the wife had newly come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And I got the impression, though it was not explicitly said, that she had kind of dragged her husband to church that evening. I got the feeling that he wanted to be there about as much as a counterfeit coin enjoys being put on an offering plate, personally. But as I talked with them, this man said, you know, my wife is now a Christian, but he said, I want you to know something. He says, there's no way that I can stop being immoral. He said, if you believe that I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to clean up my act, he says, I'm going to tell you in advance, I am too weak to do that. He said, I have lived in immorality all of my life. And he said, there's no way that I can stop what I'm doing. But he said, I do know that I am a sinner and I desperately do need help. I thought, well, I hadn't recalled that seminary had prepared me for this exactly. But I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't you here trust Christ as your Savior, acknowledging your helplessness, your bondage to immorality, come as you are, believe, receive by faith Christ, knowing that even the faith that you come to tonight is God's gift. And then I said, regarding your lifestyle, you and God will work that out after you become one of His children tonight. So he did. Because they were not part of Edgewater Baptist Church, I never saw them. And weeks went by, and I thought to myself, oh, you know, this business of cheap grace. The guy comes here and prays a prayer, and now he probably thinks he's saved because he prayed a prayer, and he's probably living the way he's always lived. About 6 weeks later, he made an appointment to see me. And he came to the church, and after a few pleasantries, he sat down and said, you know, I think I'm called to the ministry, he said. What do you think of my attending Moody Bible Institute? Well, I appeared not to look shocked. I picked myself up off the floor and dusted myself. We talked about Moody Bible Institute and other possibilities. We prayed together. He was on his way out, and I asked him the question you would have asked if you had been me. I said, what about that wife swapping club? Oh, he said, I want you to know that God took that out of my life entirely after I became a Christian 6 weeks ago. My dear friend, do you realize why grace is amazing? Grace is amazing because when we come to Christ, we bring nothing to the table except our own sin. We don't come to Christ saying, now if I really got serious about this, I could take care of this. I need your help. That's not the way you come to Christ. You come to Christ helplessly. You come to be made alive. You come because you are blind and you invite Christ to make you see. You come because you're deaf and he has to create ears for you to hear. And that's how you come. In the words of the song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And Augustus Toplady got it so right when he said, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, ere I die. And that's why grace is so, so amazing.
My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Could you give me a minute of your time? I can't help but think that this message was specifically designed, as it were, for you. There are those of you who have thought that salvation was a cooperative work between you and God, and that you would have to bring your works and God would come along and bring his grace, and together you would be able to bring about the gift of eternal life. But I want you to understand that salvation is a gift. It is entirely of God. And that's why I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to give you the assurance of faith, even as you come to him hanging on to nothing but the work of Jesus Christ and the undeserved grace of God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that all who have listened may come to saving faith in Christ. We thank you for those who listen who have already savingly believed, but there are many others who listen to this program and they needed to hear this message that they might come to you in humility and in faith and say, at last, I'm trusting Christ alone. Bring that to them and then grant to them the assurance of faith. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
In the race of the Christian life, there is one gift of God that believers cannot live without. We dare not die without it either, since this gift opens the doors of heaven, making us acceptable in God's sight. It's not automatic. It's a gift we must receive. Want to know what this gift is? Tune in for our next Running to Win to find out. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. How You Can Be Sure is a series designed to give you certainty about how to get to heaven. All 6 messages can be yours on CD for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.